This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session shares the Stormwater Ad Hoc Subcommittee meeting held on Wednesday, September 9, 2020. The meeting was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. Chair Melanie Hamblin officially opened the meeting. One of the key questions that the proposed stormwater utility fee has been asking is, what is the impervious area? The DPW has updated one of their GIS Franklin maps with the calculation for each individual plot, according to the Franklin maps. The new webpage highlighted during this meeting is a great start. How to calculate the fee based upon your impervious area still needs to be added to the page. And what credits are available that would be applied also needs to be added. The utility fee proposed for now moves to the town council for further discussion. There will be much more info coming on this as it continues to develop for an implementation in July 2021. So we have some time. The show notes contain links for the agenda of the meeting, the Stormwater Division page, the new impervious area map, and my notes from the meeting. The meeting itself runs just about an hour. So let's listen to the Stormwater Ad Hoc Committee meeting of September 9.
Welcome to the Stormwater Ad Hoc Committee meeting. We will start the September 9th meeting at 6:30. We have with us here, we have Councillor DeLorco, Councillor Hamblin, and we have some of Councillor Jones is on Zoom. We have the director of the DPW, Director Cantoraghi, he's looking at me, and Jamie Helen and the administration staff. We also have Kate Schulberg and Derek Adams, the new stormwater
manager.
Superintendent. Okay, so let me just read a couple of things here first. Due to the continued
concerns regarding
COVID-19 virus, Governor Baker's declared
state of emergency. We will be conducting a remote virtual Zoom stormwater ad hoc subcommittee meeting for all public access and participation in an effort to ensure citizens' engagement and comply with open meeting law regulations. Citizens will be able to dial into the meeting using the provided phone number on the attached link and the agenda. We will also be on Franklin TV and others may be recording us. So I think what we'll do is we'll just go to the first item on the agenda and I'm gonna toss it over to Jamie, which is the implementation update plan proposal and discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And through you to the ad hoc committee, Councillor Jones, Councillor DeLorco, and folks who may be listening from home through WFPR-FM. So on the town website, we actually have a fun, hopefully this will be a somewhat fun meeting tonight. In a little while, a few minutes after we go through some of the details of our proposal here, Kate, the great Schulberg, is going to give us a little bit of a run through our stormwater impervious area. So everybody at home is going to be able to go to their own property and see what this means to them. And this has been something a long time coming. So I want to thank Kate for that. She's going to do a short demo in a minute. to follow up, to bring folks up to speed from the last ad hoc committee, the group had asked us, you know, show us the numbers, show us what this is, right? I think we all know we have to do something. Doing nothing is not an option. So what is palatable in these times that are changing every week? And the DPW director put together a two-page memo synopsis of it, and I'm going to go through it really high level, and then I think it'll be really advantageous to have a discussion.
Okay.
So what we're proposing to start the discussion with is $18.66 per billing unit as a stormwater fee utility, which would equal about $56 per year for the average homeowner in town. And that fee would begin, we at least discussed at the last meeting, that would begin on July 1st, 2021, which would allow us to begin to implement the requirements from the federal permit in FY22. Obviously, that's a year away. Number two in the memo, this will generate approximately $1.5 million worth of revenue to be able to toward our permit. But when you take into consideration the various credits and the community assistance program, which we'll get to in a minute, in actuality, when you deduct those credits and reductions for folks who are income qualify, you actually get a budget of about $1.24 million a year. Okay. It's important to note that it would not be all of what's currently in the DPW general fund budget currently right now, but it would be a sizable amount that would really get us off to an excellent start and continue the stormwater management and leadership that we've had. I won't go through the individual budget issues, but the DPW director can answer these. He has outlined a general budget of what that $1.24 million would go for. And we can talk about that in a minute. Again, it's catch basin cleaning, mainly infrastructure improvements, street sweeping, and a variety of other programs that we're required to do under federal law. We did take into consideration the comments that we've heard not only from this ad hoc group, but many of the other forums pre-COVID, which I thought did go really well, considering this is not really, this isn't a great topic, right? But I thought the education and people in town had really wanted us to dig in a little deeper in terms of those who may not have already done a lot, and also those who may not be fortunate enough to be able to afford this fee, which is really the crux of the memo at the end, which is one, we're looking at a 50% credit for those folks, businesses and residents, a 50% credit off their fee. So if it's $56 a year, you're looking at 28 bucks, you know, for an average residential household. For those that qualify to meet those credits. And I think we use traditionally the example across the street of the Big Y. So if their bill was, you know, say, you know, $5,000, they would get a 50% credit. And so they would only pay $2,500. Residential homeowners, rain barrels. We talked about these during scenarios, right? The way you do your drainage, the less impervious surface you have for walkways or driveways. Think about these things, build it into new improvements to your homes, you're going to get a 50% credit. So that's half off. So that's pretty good. And lastly, I would highlight the community assistance program, which also gives me a good plug about the program in general. That's in Chapter 82 of the town code. Everybody here voted for almost all of these provisions over the last few years when we were doing the rewrites. For water, sewer, and trash, we offer home residential homeowners with income qualifications commensurate with home heating oil assistance. So there's federal guidelines, income guidelines that are put out every year that deal with a lot of social service programs, in particular like home heating assistance is the most common. We give them a 20% credit off their water, sewer, and trash bill. But what we're proposing with this is to actually give a full waiver. So if you meet, is you a family of, you know, whether it's 2, 4, 6, 8, if you, whatever your family is, your dynamics, there's a chart. We now use that consistently throughout the whole community. Before there was these different standards, and we tried to streamline that a couple years ago, and it's worked out pretty well. I mean, we get about 60 or 70 folks a year that take advantage of this, which is great. That's why it's there. But we're proposing a full waiver, a full fee waiver for that property owner from the stormwater fee. If they qualify. I should note, many families also qualify for reduced or free recreation programs. And you actually can get a free Beaver Street Recycling Center sticker. We waive that fee for people who qualify as well. So so we're proposing a full fee. That would require a bylaw change. I don't think there would be opposition to this. I think it's a pretty good olive branch to hopefully address an issue that, you know, many people have raised, including all of you. We've thought about it, and certainly the public feedback about homeowners struggling to pay this fee in the future. You know, we want to try to help those folks. And, you know, folks, I think, you know, there's a process to go through, but if folks were unemployed and there was no income, they would qualify, right? So As we look forward, when we started this, we weren't thinking of COVID. Now we're in COVID. We know we're going to be here for a while, I think, at least for the foreseeable future. And as this fee potentially comes on board in the next year or two, hopefully folks out there that are concerned about this will know that there's a lifeline there for them, and that there's a process they can go through. And if they're doing this, by the way, just again, plug, if they're applying for the waiver for the stormwater fee, they should be applying at the same time for the 20% discount for the water, sewer, and trash bills as
well. Everything.
So just go for the whole and the recycling center. So
can I ask you a question about that? Mm-hmm. So can we make it so that if you apply for one, you apply for everything?
Yeah, we do that now.
Okay.
Sure.
I mean, that would be even easier, right?
Right. Except for recreation.
Right, that's a separate.
The fire department and the recreation department, you have to apply with them, obviously, whatever that service is. But Friends of the DPW,
Streamline.
All in one. That would make it really easy.
Yep.
Okay, that's great.
So,
sorry to interrupt.
That's a quick synopsis. That's the quick overview. The memo's online.
Yeah.
Happy to discuss the budget. I mean, the more details are that's why Brutus is here and Derek and Kate. And then when everybody's fine, answering any questions, then we can have Kate give a quick demo of the awesome story map she has up.
Yeah, I saw that the other day. It was really,
blue.
Really nice. Yeah. but first let's go to, Councilor Jones, if he has any questions on the Zoom.
I do not have any questions yet. I want to hear the whole, presentation first. I have a question after the fact that may or may not be in the presentation in regards to the email we got from the Massachusetts Municipal Association in regards to residual designation authority for the Charles River watershed communities, and if that's going to play into this discussion today.
Right. Okay. Yes, we got that as well. Councilor DeLorco, do you have anything to add until we move on?
I know that we've been doing a couple of these meetings, but for the public to know, if we do not do this, what happens? Again, just well, so people,
yeah, we have to do it.
We,
but if exactly, we don't,
if we don't, then obviously we would face penalties and fines, and I think mm-hmm. outlined that in the previous presentations.
Right.
And the other thing with that is, besides, this is a plan, and I think that we've put together how we can start meeting the standards over time to make it palatable for everybody. Mm-hmm. If we don't do anything, EPA is going to come in and make you do it right now, plus fines. And then the plan's out the door. It's like, we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And I've dealt with EPA so many times. They always say they don't care about the money. That's our issue. They just interpret the law the way it is. So, but that's what we don't want, because then we get forced to do it. And it'll cost us a lot more money, too.
Yeah.
I agree, Bruce. I just want the people to know I think that's an important note.
Yeah, so. Definitely. I think one of the things I think people need to remember is, like, this is kind of a fair way to charge people for it. The more impervious, surface you have, the more you have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
People that don't usually pay property taxes will have to pay into this. And we can give credits to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a definitely a fairer way to get the money to do these things we have to do. So
I agree.
That's another thing people need to remember, right? I was afraid of that if we cut the fee, that we would not have enough money to get started to actually help the DPW budget. But it sounds like everything, like we'll be able to start to collect enough money to actually make a difference to the DPW. Is that correct, Jamie?
It's not. That is correct. And I would say that I believe this is half the amount Bellingham is charging their residents.
Yeah, I looked up. There's most of the other.
Yes, I looked.
Well over 100 bucks.
Most of the other municipalities around us charge way more.
Yeah.
And
it's. I think it's also important to know when Jamie was going through this, I was thinking about the numbers, and we always talk about the average single household. And what we try to do based on feedback we got before, $14 a quarter, keep it reasonable. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, you got to understand too, is, and to your point about equitability,
mm-hmm.
Basically our taxes that are collected in town are just shy of, I think it's 65, 66% residential. okay? The rest is commercial, industrial. When this goes into effect, it's the opposite. So the actual user is, there's 70%, almost 70% of the impervious area is commercial industrial.
Right.
Town. So they're, so they're the ones that actually, that's why it's the fee, and they're charged that. And then we pick up all the additional ones. So I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Is this ideal? Like, yes, for the DPW director. No, I want, we still need more money because stuff coming out here. But your comment was, do you be helping the DPW? I look at it as you're going to be helping the town.
Right.
And the reason you're helping the town is because these costs, I'm already paying these costs. If we don't do the utility, it's coming out of my budget. Right. So it allows us to, you know, free up other monies so we can take care of this. So it actually helps out everybody else in the general fund.
Right. So you could actually do a road or something. Or
pay for a policeman.
Right.
Or pay for a teacher, because that, you know, this $1.2 million I'm paying now coming out of the general fund. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to release it, so this money actually goes into general fund. So that's where you can decide where that goes. You can keep it all DPW, and I would love that. I would love you to keep it all DPW.
Really, Brutus?
Right? But that's ultimately your choice.
And that's right. And then there's Jamie.
I just have to jump. Thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, of course he'd like to keep it, right? It is it is Brutus, right? But in all earnest, and you both of you have been a part of this, certainly the whole time you've been on the council and Council Zorko, you know, we've always had a hard time getting to the point of we can fund roads to the point that we want. We know we've been struggling for this for years. All of you, Councilor Jones, Council Zorko, Council Hammond, everybody on the council, we always have wanted to get that line item back in. You know, it might be fair to at least consider, if this were to go through in a year or two, you know, trying to allocate some of those savings that we're doing offset and putting it in and really trying to do what we can for roads as additional infrastructure improvements.
Mm-hmm. So that's Madam Chair.
Yes, Councilor Jones.
So question in regards to the monies, since it's going into the general fund, and yes, it could go towards roads. Could it also be put aside or planned towards the Beaver Street Interceptor repairs?
No. I mean, you could use general funds money for that, but we have sewer. That's the sewer utility would pay for that.
Okay.
You could.
We would have to put it in, though, I think.
Correct.
The council would have to put it in.
It makes sense that the sewer utility pays for sewer work and water pays for water.
I mean, that's one of the things about the stormwater fee, is that it will pay for the things that
are associated with it
for the stormwater.
They're required to, and you can't, and vice versa, you can't take the stormwater utility fee and hire a policeman with it.
Right. So that's, I like that. Pays for it, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Okay, so Brutus, I think, were you gonna, Jamie's finished, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you gonna continue now?
Oh, well, I, you know what, Council Jones, I don't really have a presentation, I have the memo. And I can go through the specifics if people are interested about where the funds are going. I don't know.
Well, do you think you need to go in a little more in depth
than sure.
What Jamie Helen did?
Yeah, we kind of talked about, you know, why we need these funds and things we're doing. So my operational maintenance, you know, that $1.2 million, I'm just averaging stuff that they were already doing now in public works could be paid for by the utility, and that would be catch basin cleaning that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's familiar with that. Street sweeping that we do. Stormwater and culvert maintenance and repairs, that's about $75,000. BMPs, that's like the different retention ponds we have, rain guards, we can work on those. In general, stormwater expenses, just for the folks that work for us, you know, the gas, the uniforms, safety equipment, and that'd be around $10,000.
Okay.
So the big thing is, you remember last year we asked for an increase with my budget, my operating budget. Actually, it was in this year's budget, but that hasn't been done yet. But that's $253,000, and this is just basically just for MS4 right off the bat. And that's the MS4 compliance, the outfall inspections, pollution control planning. Mm-hmm. We have to train employees, and we have to track everything. Annual stormwater management plan update permits that we have to do. Remember that big permit thing, the book I showed you?
Right. Yep.
Yeah, that ain't free. time and money. And development oversight, stormwater master plans. And then engineering and planning, mapping and database management, what we have to do is around $60,000. We have to start updating. We have to start tracking directional flows and stuff like that. Construction oversight and erosion, sediment control inspections, that's like for new developments. We have to go out, sure, and they meet the permits, you know, so we don't have a lot of things going on. And then the stormwater manager position, the superintendent, where it's now being paid out of, some's paying out of general fund, some's being paid out of, he's also doing work on the solid waste, so some it's paid out of that, but that money would come, be able to come out of here. And then part of the other thing was capital improvements. I think you've heard me talk a lot of times about when we go to redo our great roads program that you council has all been supportive, you know, we use town funds, we use water utility funds, we do a complete road over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, tons of neighborhoods and people love that. But a lot of what comes up is we don't have a line item for, you know, drainage improvements. Drainage improvements can be expensive. So we've actually put some money in there, $250,000, and then capitalized stormwater equipment that could be for specialized vehicles that we're going to do. So that basically comes up to our $1.2 million.
Okay.
And then Jamie did talk about the, you know, given some people don't pay and credits and stuff like that. We're still, mm-hmm. we're still, you know, a little short on that, but this actually gives us a pretty good plan going forward.
Does the directional flow study, is that of the drainage? Like we are, which I'm trying way to use things
layman, I'm trying to use layman's terms. Yes, water does flow downhill, but there's a lot of pipe in town that we don't, you know, what we were tasked with before is to find the outfalls. And believe it or not, right. it's hard to find outfalls. Mm-hmm. You know, the developers through the years, and we could go back to the 1900s or bad record keeping in the 80s, you know, they just put these pipes out in the middle of nowhere. So we had to find out where the pipes were.
Okay.
Now what we're kind of doing is we're doing testing, mm-hmm. the water that comes out of there. If we find some different issues, whether it's a bacteria or pollutions, we have to be able to track those upstream. We have to find out where they come from, and it can be very expensive because it's underground. So that's when I say we do it directional.
Okay.
But I got to tell you, on one hand, I think this is a good thing because, you know, our stormwater system, it takes care of flooding. It takes care of our roads. It's a safety type thing. It moves water in an efficient way. It's an asset to the town.
Mm-hmm.
There's millions and millions of dollar assets. We should know where it is. We should have a plan to take care of it. Because if we don't take care of it, you don't change your oil in your car, you don't fix it, it's mm-hmm. going to break and it's going to be very expensive.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a pretty good aspect of what's going on with that.
And the leaf pickup we've talked about before, is that in there?
It's not. Okay. That's a big capital expense right up the front.
Right.
We're still working with, you know, it's a great thing that they say, but the EPA hasn't really come out with a value associated with that. So
once a credit value.
Correct.
Right.
So it's a big difference if they say you get a 5% credit or 15% credit. And then we have to look at the costs associated with that. Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. It might make sense. But till I have that credit value, it doesn't make sense. And it's something we probably will be doing, you know, eventually, you know, we ramp up the system. But as of right now, no, it's not.
Okay. All right. Councilor Jones, do you have any questions? I think you're muted.
Nope, no questions at the moment.
Okay. Councilor DeLorco, any more?
Nothing right now. No.
Okay. All right. Let's see. All right, so we talked about the credits. I think that idea of giving people a 50% credit and they can sign up for their 20% fee reduction
mm-hmm.
for their trash and water, and then they can get a
full waiver,
which helps a lot, right? So do you have anything more to add, or should we go over to Kate the Great?
Yeah, I did. And it's, you know, you can't give Kate enough love, but she came up with a nice program here that, you know, so when she goes this, you can basically click on any property. And it's gonna go to that, it'll tell you how much impervious area, and then you can figure that out per 1,000 square feet, what your fee would be. With that said, you can look at some big properties, and, you know, they can be a little bigger, and the smaller ones won't be that too much money. One of the things we talked about, and this is eventually, I don't know where it's going to be, you know, is always the rounding figure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you round up or round down? I mean, I just make the point if it's, you know, 1,500 or more than, or five more than 500 goes up to the next one, it's less, then it would go down. I mean, but we can always talk about that after.
So, well, one of the questions now that you've just reminded me was that we have billing units.
Yes.
And then there's square footage of impervious.
Correct.
Surface area. And so how many square feet of equals one billing unit?
1,000.
1,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you bring someone?
Yeah.
I was going to say.
You got to get up here.
Right.
And she needs a chair.
Okay, so Kate's going to come up. And
no, it's okay. I just want.
I did go through your site the other day. It was very nice, and I love the stormwater impervious area website you have set up for us. And I love the little video of the water, the ducks.
Yes.
You might have to show people that, because that actually
makes sense,
and it helps you understand why does it really matter where the rain goes.
Yes.
Why don't we show that right now?
Right.
You want me to show that right now? Okay. So
yeah. Why don't you show that?
Just to clarify, I did not make that video. Yeah. That is from Think Blue, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Foul water.
Get it close enough.
Oh, that was our video, right? Hang on. Oh, is there not volume on that?
I don't know. It's not very long. You can just keep. You can
pretend the rubber ducks are pollution.
Right.
Okay, so this is a web application to give residents the opportunity to see how much impervious area they have on their property, as well as just provide some educational resources on stormwater, what it is, why it's important, what Franklin's doing. A lot of the information that we've provided in past meetings, but it's all together here. So the map, it's very simple. You can either kind of browse through town. If you want to look at your specific address, you can just type it in here at the top. I'm just going to choose a random. Whoops. We're going to look at 16 Charles. No. Yeah, Charles River Drive. So as you zoom in, the red is showing all the impervious area. So a building, a shed, a patio, driveway, sidewalks for larger properties.
Yep.
And it breaks down the square footage that is on that property. So for example, this property, this is 16 Charles River Drive, and there's 5,615 square feet of impervious area. So that will round up to 6 billing units.
So,
go ahead.
No, all right. Round out to 6, so give me a total.
About
120 a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit less than that.
Yeah.
But it would be $18.66 per billing unit.
Times 6.
Right.
6, that's just rounding up. And we're just doing that for ease. But you would have to calculate that number based on what your particular one is. If you went to a house on Cottage Street, you'd probably get about, 1,000 square feet, mm-hmm. or 1,200. So that person would pay $18.66. So it just is relative to what Councilor Hamlin brought up before.
Yeah, this property has a pool.
And that has a pool. It's relative to depending on how much you have.
Right, right. That's good. And then if you can look at it, and if you could say, wait a minute, that's too much.
Exactly.
Nobody's going to say that's not enough. But
right, but if you, for example, this is based largely, this is based on data from the Franklin GIS department, from MassGIS, from Google aerial imagery, but everything is only so up to date. So if you had a shed in your backyard that you had torn down 6 months ago,
mm-hmm.
we might not have captured that had been torn down. So if you notice, well, wait a minute, I'm being charged for this square footage, but it's not there anymore. We're going to have a process in place for people to say, this is gone. Can we adjust the number?
Right.
And we can do that.
Yeah, like my driveway, I just took out and I took my shed, so I don't know if it's on now.
Oh, let's look.
right. I was going to ask you where the data came from and how recent it is.
Yeah, so we had a consultant put this together, and they wrapped up about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
The imagery is from 2019, so that's quite new.
Yep.
And whatever, again, they started with data from our department, which has varying degrees of accuracy. Like some of the driveways in newer developments aren't there yet, so if that was missing, they used imagery to capture that.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody literally went through every parcel and looked at the imagery and captured the impervious area. So it was a lot of work for our consultant.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, holy smokes. Did they get overtime pay on that one?
So you do like a, you know, village mall or?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Commercial property, just to illustrate.
Yeah. You can go to Big Y if you want.
Yeah, we always like the Big Y.
Yeah,
whatever.
Let's go to Big Y. I don't know what the address is of Big Y.
Yeah, but you know the
layout. But I know where
layout.
It's across the street.
You can go to 172 School Street and see what that looks like.
And this is the Big Y right here, isn't it?
Yep.
That's a looks lot like of it. Impervious.
So there's a good example of 17,500 square feet.
Right.
So that's 17 building units, plus 1718. So you're rounding up.
Yep. Rounding up.
My bad. But there's 18 billing units at $18.66 per billing unit. But you cut that in half because I'm sure they'll apply for a credit.
Right, and they have all those cisterns underneath and everything, right?
Right.
So they've planned ahead.
And you know, for a lot of Dean College is a good example as well. You know, some of their properties at Dean College are really old, obviously. They didn't do any improvements because the stormwater bylaw the town passed in 2008 wasn't there.
Right.
But the new dorm, I think maybe the campus center, those are newer buildings that when the town put in the stormwater bylaw in 08, 07, they had to conform to that during the planning board approval. So the planning board enforced the town's bylaw. So, you know, even a Dean College is going to see probably a mixed bag of, you know, some buildings don't have any stormwater compliance and they'll have to pay the full rate. But then on some other properties at Dean, they'll pay the 50% credit because their building is conformed to the standards that the EPA is asking everybody to conform to over time. It's just like Title V with septic, if you think about it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's forcing you to do all that improvements on your property because it wouldn't be reasonable. But over time, as you sell a property or you do other things, you know, just like, you know, you hopefully make those improvements to it. And maybe you do make some improvements like Councilor DeLorco taking his shed out and ripping his driveway out. Or maybe you get a rain barrel, you know, and maybe you do something with your drainage off your house where the water goes. And so, you know, over time, I think a lot of businesses and residents might make those adjustments as they go through. So the bylaw that Franklin has was at the time the leading, basically the leader in stormwater management. Our bylaw has been replicated by a lot of others. It was very forward thinking. And because of that, businesses like the Big Y or throughout all of town, the new businesses on Grove Street, all over the place, a lot of them have been able to upgrade the property mm-hmm. when they were coming through the process. So, you know, it may be a little bureaucratic of me to say all that, but I think if folks are listening to this at home, maybe it kind of clicks, like the planning board is actually enforcing all of these bylaws when businesses go through there. And that's a good thing, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the day. So, so you got Dean College. Yeah, there you go.
And that's just one parcel for Dean College because they have multiple parcels.
Like you said, Dean's going to be mixed because some of the stuff is so old that they, you know, unless they do rain barrels and stuff like that. That
I can't. They got to put a lot of rain barrels out, right?
Yeah.
So, Madam Chair, curious question on this topic.
Go ahead, Councilor Jones.
So you're addressing, obviously, properties like, for instance, Dean, which is made up of a bunch of different property lines in different buildings. My property, for instance, is three lots. So my house and a section of my back is one lot. My field is actually a second lot. So for all intents and purposes, my second lot has zero, well, residual impervious surfaces because it has a garage on it. But for the most part, it has very little impervious surface. The impervious surface makes up a different lot altogether. So the billing is going to go to both of my lots or just to one? I'm confused as to how the billing is going to be done.
I think it's
or the credits.
I think it applies to each property. So if one property had no stormwater improvements or no, you know, rain barrels, you wouldn't get any credits for that one. But if another parcel did, you would get the applicable credit for that one.
We'll look at it.
It's right down the street.
What's the address?
172 School Street. So look it up. It's right next to Davis Thayer. If you look it up, I actually have seven properties that border my field. And my house, however, is a separate lot. So my house technically borders my field, if that makes sense.
Okay, so this is your house here.
Yes.
1,489 square feet.
You see the line?
Mm-hmm.
So that small structure, that's my field.
Yeah.
So you see how all the other properties wrap around it? That's basically a retention pond. My field becomes a retention pond for the neighborhood. But that garage is the only impervious surface on the property. But that property, for all intents and purposes, is a retention pond. It literally takes in all the water from the neighboring properties and filters it pretty well, actually.
So just like I believe ultimately that this utility will be basically, like we had said, will be water, sewer, trash, stormwater. Eventually, that's what I think people will end up thinking of it, right? So right. I think, Councilor Jones, if you get a bill for that that back lot to pay your taxes or water, you know, you probably don't have any trash bill over there because it'll be back there. You probably don't have much water, but that's how that bill would ultimately work. And you would get a credit for each applicable one. Now, in terms of your actual house, I think it says 1,489.
Yep, the driveway and the surface.
Is that one billing unit or two? That's one billing unit.
Rounds down to one billing unit.
So okay. $18.66.
Okay. So in other words, if my yard had a credit, and the field had a credit on one lot, that would offset any, or not offset, but would reduce my other property, correct?
Well, the
reason I'm saying this and the reason I'm using my property as an example is because I'm trying to think of other properties in the community where one area of their lots, let's say they have five lots that make up their area, right? And two of them have a large amount of impervious surfaces, but yet the other three that they have might have retention ponds, or they might have something that meet the credits. So is the credit for the lot that would in turn offset the cost of the impervious surface on the other lots? Do you follow where I'm going with this?
Well, if I'm looking at, can you see where?
I'm sorry.
It's working.
I can't really hear you that well. So, Brutus is going to answer your question, Councilor Jones.
Okay. So I just look at the two, and you have, if you want them to work together, I mean, you had 1,489, so that'd round down to one. Then you have the shed, which Kate said was 400. Mm-hmm. So that would mean actually two, but then you get a 50-cent credit on the other one, so you're back down to one.
Okay.
If you have them work together, it's your choice if you'd want them to work together or not. The 400, the shed that's in the back that's 400, that wouldn't be anything, because we just talked about if it's 500 or less, we wouldn't even charge for it.
Right. So it's not about the credit. It's about the fact that there's nothing there to charge for.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. Exactly. So if you have a lot of clean open space, then that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's right.
I think he's okay now. He's smiling.
I think he's
now
really happy. Yeah.
Yep. I'm going to go to
one more quick thing.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Just to reiterate, we looked at that one property on Dean College.
Yeah.
And we presently, they don't pay into the fund because they don't pay taxes. That one property would generate $3,100 in fees.
They will pay into this fee, though.
Yes.
Right. Which right. We, so, the, so if they, when this goes into effect, they'll pay $3,100 a year for that one property.
Correct.
And they don't pay anything now.
No, that's correct.
Right. So, okay.
Which is one of the reasons why having all of that $1.2 million in the operating budget right now that DPW is paying for, you know, that out of that budget, that entity is not paying into the property tax that's funding those operations right now. A disproportionate amount of the work that's in the budget that we have to do, that Brutus's department has to do, is coming from largely from residential homeowners. Mm-hmm. So they're basically right. subsidizing, in a sense, the reverse of what many of us here, which it should, right, should be the other way around. So
right.
I think it's a really important point. It's not about who to stick the bill with. It's just about who
uses it.
Who uses it.
The quickest thing I can say to you is you look at this one property, Dean, and I'm not picking on them, but I can tell you we do a lot of street sweeping around that property. Mm. There's a lot of catch basins around it. They're already doing.
Mm-hmm. They're doing the work already.
We're doing the work already.
We're not getting paid.
We're not getting, yeah, they're not contributing. I wouldn't say that.
Right.
It's going to the general fund. And those are two easy things to look at. I think folks at home can understand that. So, yes, they would contribute to the street sweeping around the property. They would contribute to the catch basin cleaning and the drainage and everything else that goes on.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's good. That's good. We have a question out there from Steve at WFPR-FM.
Yep, Steve Sherlock here. Hope you can hear me.
Yep.
I can a little bit.
A little bit, Steve.
Can you speak up?
Yeah, turn I will up try.
Your... Okay.
Great site, great walkthrough. The one piece I think you're going to need to add to the site is the calculation on how to get to the charge. And a little better in terms of how to find the property individually. When I first went there before the meeting, I ended up getting lost in the other GIS map, which is easy to do, until you figure out that that little spot in the top is the one where you get just the impervious area, which is not on the full GIS map. Or if it is, I missed it.
It's not obvious that you type in your address there.
Oh, okay. Well, I actually used it earlier. I used it yesterday, and I just expanded the map and I got to it. So you don't have to type in your address. You can just search around. You just have to...
You can either scroll or type the address.
Right. So you can scroll it or you can type it in.
If you click on my property, does that bring you right to where you need to go? Up top? Yeah,
that brings you right here versus
to the input screen.
Stormwater, which brings you down more to the educational portion.
Sure.
Right. So I will say you do have to expand a lot.
Yes.
Right. So you do have to like zoom in and zoom in and zoom in. And then eventually you'll see the numbers that come out in the red.
Yes,
impervious area.
Not to get too technical, but the reason for that is if you try to load all that data when you're looking at the whole town, you'll just sit there on your phone or your tablet or your computer forever.
Right.
It's just a lot of data. So that's why we have it only show up when you zoom in.
Okay.
Totally.
But Steve,
understood.
Your point of...
That's not an
Steve,
issue.
Your point about adding the fee and all the information, that's you're absolutely right. I think the idea was to wait until we had a firm number.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can continuously update this with all the updated information. And when we get really specific on credits, that can all be added in. So this can be like a one stop.
In the breaks and everything that
we
put there, just have it all right there.
Exactly. If your impervious area falls between 0 and 1,000 square feet, mm-hmm. you are paying
this much.
$18, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Because we had discussed before. If you did replace your blacktop with some impervious stone, what would be that qualifying stone, and having that listing of what would meet it versus what wouldn't meet it would also be needed?
Yes. Once all those details are decided upon, they will absolutely be added.
Yep.
That's very important information for residents to have.
It's a great start.
And I will say to your comment, Steve, and right where Kate is, each parcel is labeled with its corresponding square footage of impervious area. We can try to work in there an example to illustrate, you know, if you have
2,341, you know, what does this mean? And we can try to at least put one example up there to try to calculate, you know, because I think if people go here and they can't calculate the dollar figure, even if you don't have an approved fee, you know, people are then going to go, okay, I got there, but what next? So we'll work on that issue to see if we can take it to the next level, even without final decisions, just to try to illustrate and help people along so they don't have to watch this hour-long video figured out.
Right.
Or we'll have another YouTube, or we'll make a YouTube clip.
Shorten it up. The other piece, the other question, though, does the GIS map have the layer for the impervious area?
That's what the red is.
On this view, but if you go to the normal other map, because that's where I ended up somehow earlier.
I'm not sure I know what you mean by the other. You mean this map?
Yes.
Okay, so it's there. Again, it's just not showing up because it will take so long to load. Just for ease of usability, I didn't include it until you zoomed in to a specific level. Does that make sense?
I'll try to replicate it now that I know what I'm looking for.
Okay.
All right, good. I think there is, I had that issue at first because I was like, oh, how do I, you know, then I just kept zooming in and zooming in. I will admit I did not read the directions on the side because I like to just go and try to see if I can figure it out.
I'm the same way. I try to put directions in because I know not everybody is like that. Which is why I have the directions to either use the magnifying glass for the search button or to just zoom to your property.
Yeah, I saw that after I was figured it out.
Yeah, it seems to work pretty quickly, but it doesn't seem like it would work too well on the cell phones. It came up on my computer pretty quickly. So.
Yeah. There's a lot of data, so it's a lot of information.
Yeah. I think it's a great start, and then I know that we talked about this last meeting, right? I mean, and we did discuss whether or not we wanted to see this before we had a fee,
right?
And we all decided we did want to see it,
yep.
Right? So that's where we are, so that you can at least know how many square feet of impervious surface you have in your property, and then we can definitely talk about if people don't agree,
right? And you know, in the future, if we want to label what every parcel would be charged, I can easily do that. It's one of those things. Do we want to do that? Would everybody want their neighbor to know? I mean, I know the math can easily be done by anybody. But
honestly, I would say no to that.
Yeah.
No.
No, if you want to look up yours, I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You know, you know what I mean? It's
Have the number. You can
right. You can do them at.
Once we dot our I's and cross our T's, then we can put everything in there and make it all look good.
One of the things that Steve brought up was about the gravel, impervious gravel, and I don't know a lot of in our bylaw, gravel is not pervious.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? So one of the, I think it was in Milton, they have an exception. Like if you can prove that the water drains a certain amount of water will drain through your driveway in a certain amount of time, then you can get a reduction in the fee. I didn't know if that would be, is that too much for us to, details to us to go through? And Brutus just stood up, so he's going to answer that.
The thing is, we can tailor this, you know, for the credits and how you want to do it, any which way, and what we count. You know, everybody's saying gravel. You know, gravel. In the public works world, when we say gravel. Gravel is very compacted. It uses a road base. And when I talk about something that's pervious, I talk about stone. That's, you know, you think about the voids inside.
Right,
like the water can pass through it.
Like a round river rock versus gravel, which is all going to compact.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, obviously we can look at that, but and I'm not opposed to it either way. But it's just what we want to do for standards across the board.
Right.
Okay. You know, you could say you could do pervious pavers, but how deep do you have to go? You can put pervious pavers down, but then you put them on top of gravel, so the water goes through and doesn't perk through. So, you know, and then clay. Not a lot of water goes through clay, and how you know? And if I talk to people who live up on Lincoln Street and Skyline, they know they got all the famous Franklin red clay that doesn't drain at all.
Yes, I'm on King Street.
Yep.
My cousin has it, and I don't. I got perfectly good sand.
Yeah.
But we don't want to go that far.
So that's you know, that's
I know, but we could, right?
That's the minutia, the details, yeah. And it, you know, it depends what the, you know, the public's looking for, and you know, we can always change things as we go forward.
Yes, we can. We can. Okay, so does Derek have anything to add?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Smart.
Trying to get him.
That's smart. Do you have anything else on there, Kate?
No, we went through the whole map.
Right there. Okay.
I mean, there is still the stormwater educational portion, but that's, again, it's basically just what is stormwater? Why is it important? Why is it a problem? A little history on MS4s and what they are, why Franklin is an MS4, and then what we do, what Franklin does to combat stormwater pollution.
Right.
Yeah, it's great. It's really good. A lot of really good information there, Kate. Thank you so much.
In addition to the website, give a quick plug for the website. I can see the thing up there, Kate, the tab.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, on the Stormwater Division website.
Yeah, Stormwater Division.
Yeah.
Yep. So we have it's right off the homepage. It's franklinma.gov/stormwater-division. It's right on the homepage of the town website, obviously, because it's a big deal. And you can find more information about this than I gather most people would ever want. It's dense. As I'm looking at it, it's a lot of info.
There's a lot of places to click, too.
It is. But ultimately, this is all, you know, one of the things I try to remind, and we've said it at this meeting, so we'll say it one more time, but as I look up at that site, it brings back that, you know, this money's not going to Beacon Hill. It's not going to Congress. Not going to D.C. You know, money stays right here. And it gets appropriated through you every year, just like the regular budget process. So just, you know, if people make up, you know, oh, the money's going to go over here. Nope, it stays in that fund. It's a legal entity when it's, when you start a utility like this. And it goes through the same budget process as the general budget, the school budget, the DPW budget, the police budget, the, you know, water sewer budgets, all that stuff goes to the regular finance committee, goes to the council for approval every year. So there's checks and balances and how it's spent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just want to make sure people don't, you know, think it's going to some other town or downriver to Newton. It's not, you know, it's not.
Exactly. It's going to stay
here. It's going to stay here, and it's going to be
a big circle. It's a big circle. It's going to go right back in.
Yeah.
Right in Franklin. So
it stays here. You know. Takes, we get better water and we get safer roads. And
less pollution,
right? Yep. Yeah, it's great. So the, and like if we need to raise the fees, it would go through the council.
That's right.
Just like all the other fees,
water, sewer, and everything.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think
good question.
Go ahead.
Well, I have our GIS expert here, and actually, I'm over here looking at the website. Came out really nice. I'm a little nervous about this one called the Brutus Bill. A little plug for Brutus I see on the website. It's a really, really good article about saving the town money. But in all actuality, the website came out really nice. I'm just curious question in regards to what it was used to make the website. Was it Flash?
No, this is through ArcGIS Online, which is a portion of the mapping software that we use. It's produced by a company called Esri. So it utilizes all of our spatial data, and then you basically compile it all into a map that you want to create, to a story that you want to tell in the map.
Yep, I just wanted to make sure that nothing utilizing Flash was purposed, because Flash is no longer going to be supported by Google Chrome as of December 2020. So if we have anything on the website that uses Flash, we'll have to get that changed up. Sorry, just a communication liaison note.
Okay. Thank you, Councilor Jones.
But it looks really great. You guys did a really nice job on the website. I'm over here staring. I'm over here browsing through it as we sit here in chat. So nice job.
As we're in the council chambers. you did a fantastic job. It's just like
excellent
job.
You
can just look on every property or see all the impervious surfaces. It's really great. And I know, like we said, we want to be able to see it on September 9th, and
we got to see it.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. They did everything.
It's important to give the information to the people, so that's what we wanted. The fee seems to be okay with all of us. Do we need to send this to the council, or what?
I make a motion to approve the $56 standard fee starting July 1st, 2021.
Yep, you can do that. I was just going to say, we also want to, I think, forward along the whole program with the credits, the bylaw, you know, the whole, everything that's here, including the fee.
Okay, and motion as stated.
Second. But this also has to go in front of the council, right?
That's correct.
Right, just so people know, it still has to go in front of the council. It's just, we're a subcommittee.
Yep.
That's right. We just get everything ironed out.
Right.
All right, all in favor? Councilor Jones?
Aye.
Councilor DeLorco?
Aye.
Councilor Hamlin? Aye. Mm. Okay, all in favor? Let's move this over to the
council.
And we'll get to show the full council and everyone else there everything that's been done. And hopefully people have been following along and they'll pick up on it quick, right? But I really thank everyone for all the hard work that they've done. It's a lot.
No,
I like think it will help a lot too.
So one quick question. I'm not sure if I heard it tonight or not, but we spoke about come January, kind of putting some PR out there and starting to make the message known to the community that this fee is going to be coming as of July 1st, just to kind of start getting the messaging out there. Correct, Jamie?
Through you, Madam Chair, yes, that's correct, Councilor Jones. I think a couple of steps. We're going to have to go back and put this high-level draft actually and write out legislation, and there's probably going to be a few different pieces of legislation all at once. And then number two, we would probably do the PR after everything's settled. So we know exactly what the rate is and the date of when it starts. You know, I think we should at least respect the full count body. You know, they may want to alter it a little bit or a little up, a little down, or move the date. So I think once we get that out there, but I think, in the meantime, all the resources here are incredible opportunity. I think in particular, the database that Kate did, I hope I talked to Chrissy tomorrow. The staff is going to start putting on social media and really get into a repetition of putting out this map so that people can start getting used to it, fool around with it a bit. I'm sure it will also be on Franklin Matters. And so when the time's right, I think, we'll definitely get out a lot of PR on this for sure.
Excellent. Steve seems to still have his hand up. Do you have another question, Steve? I took it down.
Sorry, no, I finally realized that I hadn't put it down.
Okay.
But yes, it will be on Franklin Matters.
Thank you.
That's it.
To adjourn.
Second.
Roll call.
Councilor Jones?
Yes.
Councilor DeLorco?
Yes.
Councilor Hamlin? Yes. All in favor? I guess non-debatable.
Where's your clicker?
Undebatable.
Right? Where's your clicker?
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.